From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Lane County is a huge area that contains a good deal of agricultural land. From row crops to orchards to pasture land on which to graze cattle and sheep, this county of ours can produce a huge amount of food. Yet despite this bounty, thousands of our fellow citizens go hungry each day. Today on the show, we continue our series on hunger in our community, and we do so by talking with one of the largest nonprofits and largest food banks in this area, Food for Lane County. In 2024, the organization distributed nearly 9 million pounds of food to those in need. Yet the need for more quality food for more people continues. We'll talk about the challenges and opportunities to feed the hungry of Lane County next on Oregon on the Record. First, the news. Carolyn Stein, the Executive Director for Food for Lane County, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael.
Yeah. Boy, I'd love to get from you an idea for our audience about the problem of hunger here in Lane County, sort of in any way that you quantify and qualify it.
Well, when we look at hunger in Lane County right now, the biggest thing to understand is just how dramatically the need has grown. Over the past several months, our food pantry visits have quadrupled. And we're not just seeing more people, we're seeing people come more often, and we're seeing families who have never sought help before. In late October, the federal government shutdown threatened the disbursement of SNAP benefits, and that event also caused an enormous uptick in the number of people needing food assistance. And many of our pantry partners were experiencing very long lines, and in some cases, they were running out of food to distribute.
Wow.
Yeah, and that event was in addition to the changes in eligibility for SNAP that also began on November 1st. And these changes, as they continue to roll out, will make it harder for people to qualify for benefits. So we will likely see more individuals, families with children, and seniors accessing food through Food for Lane County's programs and services.
Yeah. Can you kind of explain to us? I mean, Lane County is sort of indicative about the state in general in that it's both a very urban county along the I-5 corridor, but it's also a very rural county. And I'm wondering from your point of view and what you see at Food for Lane County, you know, describe sort of the two Lane counties, the urban and then the rural, and how hunger impacts those two Lane counties, if you will.
Sure. I do think that hunger does look a little different depending on where you are in Lane County. In Eugene and Springfield, it's largely about affordability. Groceries may be physically closer and easier to access, but people are struggling with high rents, childcare costs, medical bills, and wages that haven't kept up with inflation. And I think in more rural areas, affordability is still an issue, but there is also the added challenge of food accessibility. I think another term that people are familiar with are food deserts.
Yeah.
In rural communities, families are more likely to live several miles away from the nearest grocery store or pantry, and there may be little to no public transportation. There are often fewer grocery choices, and sometimes the options that they do have are higher in price. And there may be fewer jobs that pay steady wages in rural communities. So there definitely are similar challenges and different challenges facing our urban communities and our rural communities.
Yeah. How does your organization work? And maybe that's a very basic question, but I think for a lot of people who know your organization and know the basics about what you do, but, you know, given the challenges, you know, how are you structured to be able to get as much food as possible to as many people as possible?
Well, Food for Lane County is the regional food bank. We're part of the Oregon Food Bank Network, which is 21 regional food banks across the state. So we have a statewide network that allows us to distribute food. We also work very closely with our own community partners, including grocery stores, food distributors, and we collect food and we move it through our distribution partners, which are 150 partner agencies that consist of faith-based organizations, other nonprofit organizations that may do other types of programming to distribute over 8.5 million pounds of food every single year throughout Lane County.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Let me quickly reintroduce you to the audience, talking with Carolyn Stein, the executive director of Food for Lane County. There's probably a stereotype of who might need food assistance, and I imagine that's incorrect. So I kind of want to give you the opportunity to, maybe talk about sort of the most surprising aspect of hunger and the people who are affected by it, whether that's urban or rural or as you just described, or kind of, paint us the picture of who your clients are in many ways.
I think one of the most surprising things about hunger, and something that many people don't realize, is that many people that access food assistance programs are working people. In Oregon, over 83% of SNAP households have at least one person that is employed. And the people that are accessing food assistance are people that we know. They're our neighbors. So hunger isn't about unemployment. It's often about low or unpredictable income. And I think another thing that surprises people is just how many seniors and middle-income households are showing up at pantries now. These folks are living on fixed incomes. They are likely feeling the high cost of medical insurance and services, and they face high housing costs and expenses. So I think many of the people that have worked their entire lives right now are needing help.
And I'm wondering too, again, it may be overly simplistic. A lot of people probably think of your organization as, oh, that's a place where people who need it can get food. But I'm also wondering about your organization working with other organizations, to try and address some of the root causes for hunger in our region, however that might look like.
It's a great question. Thank you. Food for Lane County tackles hunger really on two levels. First, we meet the immediate need. So emergency food boxes, our pantry network, our mobile pantry distributions. We have a snack pack, a cereal for youth program that is for school-age kids. We have the dining room, which is a Food for Lane County restaurant-style meal site, and many more programs. And we know that food alone doesn't solve the problem. We also work on factors underneath hunger, including our work to support local and resilient food systems that are meant to improve health outcomes. Because we also know that people who are food insecure and/or lack access to nutritious food are also more likely to suffer from chronic disease. So to address this, Food for Lane County is working with the Lane Community Health Council, the Upper Willamette Soil and Water Conservation District, and Soterra LLC on a 5-year project called Grow Lane County. And the goal of that project is to improve the health quality for Lane County residents through improved access to Lane County and Oregon-grown foods. And our primary focus areas are to expand food quality. We want to ensure that Lane County residents have access and knowledge about how to utilize fresh food. We are also working to address disparities. We want to increase access for the most food insecure populations and provide education that is really tailored to health needs. And then our third goal is to implement a patient-centered education opportunities that promote healthy eating habits and prevent hospital readmittance and chronic disease. So this work is funded by the Lane Community Health Council, and it has also enabled Food for Lane County to forward contract with local farmers, growers, and producers, and then distribute those foods throughout our pantry network. These types of partnerships, when they're created, it also has the potential to provide additional revenue and capacity for farmers to expand their operations. So these initiatives keep our dollars local, they provide economic opportunity, they make nutritious food more accessible, and all of those things help to address the underlying causes of hunger.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, in our region, there is a crisis of homelessness, but it's also the crisis of overall affordable housing. And I'm wondering, from where you sit, just being able to afford shelter of any type, but also having a roof over your head, explain that sort of nexus of where homelessness and hunger sort of collide to the worst degree for so many people.
Well, there's certainly a strong connection between Lane County's unhoused population and hunger. Housing affordability is a big problem in our area. I mean, and if you are unhoused, you don't have access to a kitchen or a safe place to cook or store food. I mean, it would be nearly impossible to eat a healthy diet if you don't have access to those basic things. I think people that are experiencing homelessness will often have to rely much more heavily on ready-to-eat foods, packaged foods, meal sites, and emergency options. So, yes, you can't really talk about one of those issues without acknowledging the other.
Yeah. There has been a lot of funding decisions at the federal level, the executive branch and whatnot, that have really changed a lot in terms of how funds are distributed to organizations at the state level, at the local level. And I kind of wanted to, hear from you in terms of some of those decisions, some of those funding cuts, some of those, whole-scale departments being shuttered. How has what's happening in DC percolated down to what you experience at the very, where the rubber meets the road local level for Food for Lane County?
The recent federal funding decisions have had a huge impact on our work. Some of the food that we've historically relied on from federal programs have become less predictable. Earlier this spring, the USDA abruptly canceled the CCC, or the Commodity Credit Corporation program, which purchased excess food from farmers and distributed it out to food banks. And that program provided Food for Lane County roughly 18% of our total food supply. So earlier this year, we lost 18% of our total food supply. And we are also expecting another one-third of our federal food supply to be deeply cut later this spring in 2026. So the government shutdown, and also the cuts to SNAP from HR1 have created a lot of instability, both for our organization and for people experiencing food insecurity. And so we saw a huge demand surge almost overnight, and it really just underscored how essential monthly SNAP benefits are for so many families. And I would say that our community did step up in a really, really big way. And there has been an outpouring of support, including food and fund donations, that have allowed us to respond. Food for Lane County has purchased several truckloads of food, and they will arrive over the next several weeks. We've expanded our mobile pantry pop-ups and coordinated quickly with our partners. But to be completely honest and clear, for every meal provided by food banks, SNAP provides nine.
Wow.
SNAP has been the best economic stabilizing program that gives people direct access to food for over 50 years.
Wow.
And food banks are simply, we're just not set up to meet this kind of demand long term.
How is the SNAP program working right now?
Well, it's a great question. You had two events that collided at the same time. You had the government shutdown, which those benefits have been reinstated. HR1, also known as the Big Beautiful Bill, also changed eligibility requirements for SNAP recipients. So there will be roughly 213,000 Oregonians that will be impacted by those new eligibility requirements, which is a significant number of people in our communities that may not yet be experiencing disruptions to SNAP, but it's possible that those impacts will happen later on down the road.
Okay. Carolyn, my last question for you is about, the signs of optimism that you see the hope in terms of your core mission to try and end hunger in our community.
Well, you're right. Even with all of these challenges, there really are reasons to feel hopeful. I mean, we are seeing more attention to the issue of hunger than ever before, both nationally and locally. I think our relationships with the Lane Community Health Council, with local farmers, community partners, they're stronger than they've ever been. There is an enormous amount of energy around local food production and making healthy food more accessible. And we're having deeper conversations at every level about building a system where everyone has stable access to good food and not just emergency support. So yes, the need is great. But the collaboration and the creativity and the determination that we're seeing across the community give me a lot of hope. I think ending hunger is possible. I think that there is a lot of, incredible work happening in many organizations, support from members of the community that are really trying to lay the groundwork to get there.
Good enough, good enough. Well, Carolyn Stein, the Executive Director for Food for Lane County, really appreciate you coming on and talking about all that your organization does in this difficult time.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's great to be here.
We're going to take a quick break. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. And we're back. I'm Michael Dunn, and you're listening to Oregon on the Record. We're going to finish out the show by talking with our own Zach Ziegler and his report about a big shakeup in the local microbrew scene. KLCC's Zach Ziegler, thanks so much for coming in and talking.
Yeah, sure thing.
You know, you've really done a lot of business coverage, and you really dove into sort of our state's craft beer industry. And, there's been some issues with closures. Rogue Ales closed in November. Let's start there. Why was this particularly noteworthy, closing for the state's micro beer scene?
Yeah, so Rogue was an early pioneer, started in 1988, back before I was drinking beer, back before it was even, at that age where my dad could give me the cute little sip of beer.
Yeah.
And that made them kind of an early vanguard. One of the people that I've interviewed told me they were the first Oregon beer to be available in all 50 states.
Wow.
You had an early Nike employee who helped start the company. I mean, there's tons of reasons this was an iconic Oregon beer.
Yeah. And for people who may not know, and explain to folks, this is a pretty big company, wasn't it?
Yeah. They were the, in 2024 at least, the number 50 craft brewery in the U.S., according to the Brewers Association, a notable industry group. Estimates were it employed about 50 people at its main Newport facility and somewhere between 200 and 500 around the state. I'm relying on reporting from folks like the Lincoln Chronicle here, who's been doing a great job. And then there's also, to borrow a sports term, the coaching tree of Rogue, where people would go there to start or go there for mentorship and end up splintering off to go to companies like Ninkasi and Full Sail and plenty more. There are lots of breweries that exist because people associated with them learned from Rogue.
Yeah, and certainly, as you said, a very iconic brand, and not just iconic for beer. They did other things as well, right?
Yeah, they were an early entry in the brew pub game with locations across Oregon. You know, at the time of closing, they had spots in Astoria, Portland, elsewhere. I remember there used to be actually a location the first time I ever came to Eugene, right around the corner from KLCC here. But Rogue was also in the distilling business, making whiskey, vodka, and gin, and they recently branched out into CBD seltzers.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah,
quite a diverse portfolio. So we get it. This was a big loss for this very sudden closure. You know, I imagine you've talked to other brewers. What is the industry saying? What are people, what are they taking away from this?
You know, there was definitely some surprise that it was Rogue. But one thing that actually I remember Matt Van Wyk from Alesong saying to me was, when was the last time you went down there and had a beer from them? When's the last time you cracked a six-pack from them? There is so much competition that sometimes these big names that used to prop up an industry and help start it start losing some attention. The microbrewing and the craft brewing industry is starting to mature. You know, beer sales were down about 4% last year, and craft beer is actually losing more than that of its market share of beer sales. You kind of start adding that stuff together, add to it the fact that a brewery the size of Rogue, it's hard to steer, and beer is a fickle market. You know, there's a lot of trends to it, and it's hard when you're brewing things 100 kegs at a time or more.
Interesting stuff. Zach Ziegler, who covers so much about the economy and business for us. Zach, really appreciate you coming in and talking about.
Yeah, sure thing.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, we'll continue to focus on hunger in our community and state by talking with a statewide organization focused on policy changes. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.